Lift your hands to heaven. Just breathe out the old. Come on. Breathe out the old where the Spirit of God can breathe fresh breath right into you so you can be refreshed tonight. Come on. Lay down all the aggravation, all the misunderstanding, all the things of the flesh. Come on, shake it off. In the name of Jesus, just shake it off. Shake off every heavy band. Just be refreshed in the Lord right now. Hallelujah. You and I were here in His presence. And in His presence, all things are possible. In His presence is fullness of joy, the Word of God tells us. Come on, just receive some of that joy right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that You're pouring out joy. Joy is something that's on the inside. It's not about external happiness or outside things, but it's about Your Spirit on the inside of us. Love and joy and peace. Those first three triune fruit of the Spirit, Lord, we thank You for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship You. We worship You. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, we're not bound in any way. We have freedom tonight. Freedom in the Son of the living God, the Lord of our lives. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the freedom that we have. The liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty in our lives right now. Thank You for it. Hallelujah. We won't be bound by any of the ways of the world or the ways of the enemy because we're walking in the way of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Glory. Glory. Aren't you glad You came? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm glad to be in the house with you tonight, the house of the Lord. Amen. Say, I'm the house of the Lord. Come on, you are. You are the temple of the Most High God. Amen. Tonight, open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Paul writing to the young minister Timothy, and to it's an epistle written to the church to try to help us. Do you know that he, in the verses of Scripture that we're going to look at, that there's one thing that he mentions that will take four blessings out of our life? Oh my goodness. You mean the flesh and the way of the world, the way of the enemy, the devil in this world, he can use one thing in my life that would take four things that God's promised me out of my life? I need the Word of God, don't I? I need the truth because I don't want the enemy to have any open door to work in my life to take away God's best from me. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And say I'm meat for the Master's use. Hallelujah. That's who you are. That's what you are. You are meat for the Master's use because you're always willing to do a spiritual house cleaning. Or when we clean house by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, oh my, we open ourselves up to the fullness of God's blessing. His promises become so real. So let's look at that tonight, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's start reading in verse 19 for sake of time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Paul has been warning Timothy about some who had come along and they were teaching other things contrary to the Word of God, teaching that the resurrection had done past and all these things. And you're going to encounter all kinds of false teachers in your life and in my life. But thank God you've got the Holy Spirit who's your teacher and your guide. And you know whether something bears witness in your heart or not. And if it don't, then you just lay it aside. Keep walking with joy. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Notice what he says. He said, nevertheless, it doesn't matter about these false teachers and what might be happening all around you and I. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now mark that in your mind's eye. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Say, I'm the Lord's. Ooh. If He owns you, He'll take care of you. Amen. He owns us. He'll take care of us. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart. Let them instigate a revolt, stand against it in a high authority and power. Instigate a revolt, depart from iniquity. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, remember that, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, remember this, meet for the master's use, and prepared, remember this, prepared for every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Notice this one thing eliminates four things out of your life if you don't do it, if I don't do it. He said, flee, run and shun from youthful lust, but follow, pursue after, number one, righteousness. Number two, faith. Number three, charity. Number four, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hallelujah. Out of a pure heart. Brother Rodney, would you pray? Yes. 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 Yes.
Thank you, God, that we're able to
get your word. Amen. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Rodney. Thank you for once again for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. I want you to know that you're so important to the plan of God and His will. You're important to this part of the body. And you'll just have to bear with me. I've got a lot of things I've got to try to take care of, and I may not get to talk to everybody as I would like to, but trust me, it's not because I don't want to, but there's a lot of situations going on, and people have needs, and everybody needs a little extra help every once in a while. Amen. All right, so I want you to notice some things here in these verses of Scripture. I want you to be so built up and encouraged tonight that you are God's vessel. Oh, my goodness. I mean, think about that. God will use me. Come on, God will use you. You're the vessel of the Lord. And, you know, I love what that means because I can think back when I was a kid. My grandpa, he used to try to help me sharpen a knife, and I'd watch him. Of course, he's right-handed and I'm left-handed, and he could take that that stone, and he could make that knife just as sharp as it could be. And then he'd hand it over to me, and he said, "Now you do what I did," but I never could do what he did the way he did it, because see, it wasn't in his hand; it was in my hand. But tonight, you're in the Lord's hand. You're in the Lord's hand. That means there's nothing that can keep you from being the most productive. There's nothing that can keep you from shining a light to a lost, dark world. There's nothing that can keep you bound, because whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen? So know whose hands you're in tonight, and know that you're the vessel of the Lord, and what He's going to do is going to be glorious in and through your life. This is a fact. But let's lay just a little foundation here before we get to where the Lord would have us to go. Notice what He said there in the latter part of verse 19. He said, let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, the name of Christ, Christos, depart from iniquity. So this here means that you and I, we're to... This is, as I said, from the Greek, it means we're to cause a revolt. When we see iniquity trying to come in our life and try to bow down to it, the devil wants to put lawlessness in your life. He wants to put wrong things in your life, into my life. No, we say, uh-uh. I'm going to organize the Word of God. I'm going to organize. I'm in the union of the Lord. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm in union with them, and I have a union relationship with them. I'm standing against this. Amen. I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm going to depart. I'm going to revolt against this iniquity. And so when you make a stand, all of a sudden, for when the devil's trying to wear you out, trying to wear me out, and we simply say, Lord, I've done all I can do. I'm just going to stand in your grace. I'm going to stand in your presence. When you've done that, you're in a place of success. You're in a place of victory, because all of a sudden you've got yourself out of the way. And you said, Lord, I've exhausted everything I know. I've exhausted all my strength, all my avenues, all of my abilities, and I'm just going to rest in you. And when we do that, all of a sudden the impossible becomes possible. Amen. That's what we're looking for. And so tonight, I know that several of you are going through situations and circumstances, and the devil's desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. It's to wear you, to wear me plumb out. But we're just going to stand. We're just going to stand and say, Lord, I'm going to let you take care of it. I can't change anything about it on my own, but I'm going to stand in you. I'm going to stand by grace. I'm going to stand by that power of God that brings peace, that presents the promises of God to me, and I know all is going to be well. Amen. All right, so notice what he said in verse 20. He said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, I would like to really get into this, but I know everybody's got a different level and different hunger. So I'll just lay it out there, and if you want to study it, you can. Notice he said this great house. Now, in the house of God, there's only honorable things. And so here we're talking about a great house, and it's got honorable things and dishonorable things in it. So this once that was standing for God's house and represented God's house, it had honorable things in it. All of a sudden, other things started creeping in. And so we got to be very cautious. The devil, he wants to creep things into your life, in my life. Come on, he is the very crawling, creeping beast of the field, if you will. He's very subtle in what he wants to do in your life, in my life. So we got to be very cautious. So what I'm saying is, this is why Paul is talking about there's a purging that needs to take place. Remember, I'll just lay this out to you, and you can study it if you want to. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus goes through a series of parables. And in verses 31 and 32, he talks about a parable of a mustard tree. Remember that? He said, the man went out and he sowed his seed, and up grew a mustard tree, and it grew up to heaven. It was so tall. It was so beautiful. And it said that all the fowls of the air come and rested in it. Well, if you read verse 4 and verse 19, Jesus always explains his parables. So we know that those, I've heard it preached, oh, isn't that wonderful? God's kingdom brings rest to everybody. No. The foul of the air is the evil spirits. The foul of the air has to be purged out. The foul of the air can't be there, so it's a vessel of not honor, but dishonor. And so so in the great house, we're going to say, I'm not going to have a great house that's in this temporal world. I'm going to have an eternal house that's made in the heavens, amen, by the hand of the mighty God. You look at that. You'll be blessed by it if you'll study it out. Notice verse 21. Here's why we're coming here. We're going to spend most of our time in this verse. In verse 21, if a man, woman, boy, or girl, therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now remember, Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy is an evangelist. He'll ultimately become a pastor. He'll ultimately become the head of the church there before the end of his life. So we need to see that in your Christian life, in my Christian life, that we are born as a child, just like in the natural, and we've got to grow up. We've got to mature. And so, I don't know about you, but as a child, I had a lot of issues that I would be ashamed of if I still done today. But guess what? There's some things that I think about last year that I done that I'm ashamed of because I've grown up from them by the Word of God. And so you're going to always be in a growing process. So Paul's talking to Timothy, but he's talking to the church. So you and I, we don't need to be in the place and the position to don't think that we don't need to be purged. Come on, because Jesus is the only one that's perfect. And because of his perfection, you and I are we're in that place and that position where we can be like him. Because he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, be complete. In other words, what we're talking about, have nothing of the world in you, in my life, by the Word of God coming to us. Understand what I'm saying? So hold your place there in Timothy. And let's go to Paul wrote to the church in Ephesians chapter 5. And look what he says in verses, look at the last, verse 25 and 26, but to get the full point. But Ephesians chapter 5, he says, he's talking about husbands and wives here, but he's really talking about the church. He said, husbands, love your wives, but I want you to concentrate on this part. Even as Christ also loved the church, and what did Jesus do for you, for the church? He gave himself for it. Oh my goodness. You're here tonight in the house of God. You're in the body of Christ. Turn that down a little, would you? One notch. You're in the house of God tonight. You're born again. You're born from above. And you're in this place and a position in Jesus Christ. And it's because He gave Himself for you. He bought you. He bought me. He redeemed us with His own life's blood. Amen? Now, why did He do that? So how do I purge myself is what we're talking about. Remember, that's what Paul told Timothy, what he told the epistle written to the church, that he might, verse 26, Ephesians 5:26, Jesus done this for you and I, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, by the washing of the water of the word. So Jesus gave Himself for us, to save us, to redeem us, but He didn't want us just to be redeemed, bought back. He just didn't want us to be justified. He wanted us to start walking with Him and become sanctified. So how do I purge myself? I purge myself by realizing it's not a work of myself. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's a work of the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God, taking Jesus and washing me in the Word. See, I can preach a message to you. Like this morning, I had three different messages to preach, and it depended on who was here. So I had to go over all three of those messages and figure out who was what and what was where. And then when it boiled down to who showed up, then that's what I preached. Because, see, you can't just... When you go to witness to somebody, you can't just... If I went to talk to somebody who had just lost a loved one to some situation, and all I wanted to talk to them was about the Word of God that is prosperity. Nothing wrong with prosperity. God will prosper you. He'll prosper me. They don't need to hear about prosperity. They need to hear what? Words of comfort. Words of edification. Words that give them hope of where their lost loved one is. And if they were saved, what that means to them in the long term, right? So you can't just give a word. If you want the word to hit, if you want the word to stick, it has to be a word that's timely, that is not a logos word, but is a rhema word. In other words, rhema word is by the Spirit. It's alive. It hits right where it's pointed at. And so that's what Paul's doing here. He's telling the church at Ephesus, just like he's telling Timothy, that we can be purged by Jesus when we realize that Jesus, He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He's alive, but He's alive in you. He gave Himself that you might live, Brother Larry. And He gave Himself to you and I tonight, that the Word of God, every time you read it, every time you hear the Spirit of God bring a word to you, it washes you. Remember John 17:17? Jesus said, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is the truth. That's what He's talking about here. So Jesus is that word that He's talking about. So we are sanctified when we take in the Word of God. We're washed. We're starting that purging process. In other words, when Don and I, when we first started going to church, and, you know, we would hear the new brothers and sisters, and the Lord would hear them talk about when not doing this and how this was wrong and that was wrong. Me and Don would come home and talk about it, and we'd say, I don't get it. I don't see how that's wrong. See, I hadn't been purged yet. I hadn't been sanctified yet, but I didn't have to live there because God hadn't convicted me yet. God hadn't showed me a better way. He hadn't showed me a more excellent... See, the Bible talks about there is a more... Paul said, I want to show you a more excellent way. What is that? That's the way of love. Well, see, love means that it loves at all times. And it loves me, Sister Kelly, even when I'm making mistakes. Even when I don't know to do better, love still loves me. But then when I'm ready to hear something that will purge me and prune me, then love brings that truth in me. And that love gives me hope. It builds me up. So can you imagine here in this situation, think back when you first got saved and how you used to look at things and see things. I mean, the things that I used to do then, I can't do now. But to be honest with you, my flesh still wants that same things, because the flesh can't be changed. But in my spirit, I know that that's empty, unfulfilling. You know, that I know that the only thing that will fill me up is the Word of God, that relationship with God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And so He said, wash them. So put Titus 3:5 up there, Brother Jason. I sure do appreciate you. Thank you for everything you do. The Apostle Paul is making this incredible statement in this book of Titus. And he's talking about, as he's bringing truth about what the Word will do to us, he talks about the regeneration. Is it Titus 3:5? Maybe that's not it. I'm going from, let's look. Titus chapter 3. Yes, Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, talking about after Jesus has appeared to you, he come to you, and it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. We can't come to him because of our own righteousness, but it's because of his righteousness. But according to his mercy, he saved us. So by the mercy of God, you're saved tonight. By the mercy of God, I'm saved tonight. But what happens when that mercy, when you receive that? Look at the last part of the verse. By the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit come into your life and started showing you Jesus. And you started walking along in this life. And you thought, boy, this thing that was so important to me, it was really hurting me. It was hindering me. It was holding me back. You start getting purged. Start getting sanctified. And that the Holy Spirit keeps washing the water over your life. And all of a sudden it comes across your mind. And as it comes across your mind, then things that you used to say, all of a sudden you don't say them. Not because you don't have the liberty to say them. You could say them if you want to, but you don't want to. Because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, that regeneration process. In other words, what does regeneration mean? It means every time that the water washes over your spirit and your spirit brings up to your soul by the Holy Spirit and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, that your soul gets renewed, then you start looking more like Jesus. You start walking more like Jesus. You start talking more like Jesus. And so you're being purged. You're being sanctified. And where God couldn't use you before, now there's no question. He just, real quietly, that still small voice knocks on your heart's door. You say, yes, Lord, your servant's listening. And you hear a word and you walk it out. Amen. And you walk it, you realize, oh my goodness, there's such liberty here. There's such freedom here. There's such peace here. This is what God called me for. Your call for such a time as this. You're called for the last day ministry. You're called to be serving the Lord and be one of his virgins that is wise because your vessel is full of oil. Amen. You're waiting. You're looking for the sounding of the trumpet. You know what? The Bible says, blessed are those who are looking. You know, there's a lot of people that's not looking. And you'll never hear it if you're not looking. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? It's got everything to do with everything. Amen. Okay, so how do I purge? How do I get purged? How do I become more sanctified? I depend upon what Jesus done for me. I let him do it. Don't try to clean yourself up. I've told you, I've been just as honest with you as I could. I had certain bondages in my life, certain sins, certain strongholds in my life, and I would do them over and over again. I didn't want to do them. Just like if somebody's addicted to alcohol or some kind of drugs or to sex, or they don't want to do that. But there's an addiction there. There's a spirit behind the substance. And the spirit is driving the situation. And so whatever my sin was, and there's too many to name, and I don't want to glorify them. I want to glorify the one who delivered me from them. Amen. When I let him wash over with his word over my life, all of a sudden, and I come to him in faith, and I said, listen, Jesus, I don't want to be like this anymore. In all honesty, I know that this is a stronghold in my life. Show me how to cast down strongholds. Show me how to get rid of vain imaginations. Show me how to bring every thought under the obedience of the Word. The Word, see, the Word purges you and I. The Word gives us the victory. The Word shows you that you're no longer a servant to sin. Come on, Romans 6 goes in great detail and shows us how we used to be servants to sin, but now we serve righteousness. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Oh, it's a glorious thing to be a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to be born again. It's magnificent to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's who we are, and we got to identify with that. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what he said. Verse 21 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. We looked at purging ourselves. Let's look at this being meat for the master's use. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Notice this, sanctified. That's what we discovered. But then all of a sudden, when you get in that place of sanctification, you become meat for the master's use. That this word meat is from a Greek word. It means to be easily used. It means to become profitable for the Lord. Now, to be all honest with you, for years I was saved on my way to heaven, and I wasn't very profitable to Jesus. I wasn't. I was saved, but I didn't know enough of the word, and what word I knew, I wasn't obedient to it. I wasn't yielded to it. And so what did he do? He just let me walk, and he would give me grace, and he would try to talk to me. And then when I get in trouble with the flesh and the devil, he was there to try to help me. But when I finally started making good choices, see, you have free will. You've got to make a choice. I've got to make a choice. And so when I started making good choices, then he got me in a place and a position where I could be what this is talking about, meat for the master's use. I become profitable for Jesus. See, I used to use my talents for the devil, for myself. But now I can use them for Jesus. You can use them for Jesus tonight, amen? So let's talk about that. Let's look at this word. You're right here in 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 4 of my Bible. It's just the next page over. Look at verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Here the Apostle Paul is in a place. He's warning. He's getting ready to give his life. And to go home to be with the Lord. And he's telling Timothy, he said, only Luke is with me. And he tells Timothy to do this, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now this is very needful to you tonight. You need to hear this with clearly by the Spirit of God. Now we know in Acts chapter 15, that Paul and Barnabas, they broke up over John Mark. See, John Mark, he was young and he's immature, and he left them when they were out on the ministry field. He left them and went back home. And so when Paul, let's just go read it. I'll hold your place there and turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Why paraphrase it when you can read it out of the Word of God? Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Acts 15, 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Verse 36. And after some days, after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought, not good to take him with thee, who departed from thee, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, and being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. So there was a division there. A great ministry team got broke up. So can you imagine what Paul really, how he really felt about John Mark? But then something happened in John Mark's life when he kept walking with Barnabas. See, he was the nephew to Barnabas. And so Barnabas, he took him in and he taught him how to become a missionary. And then all of a sudden the news got back externally, but I believe internally by the Spirit of God to the Apostle Paul. And he said, there's a great change in John Mark's life. And so notice what he said. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable. This is the same word, meat for the master's use. This is the same Greek word. See, you're profitable to the Lord, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So the thing that caused a great harm in Paul's life, Paul just left it there. He didn't let it hinder him and hurt him. But what happened? God changed that thing that caused a great harm in his life to something that was productive for him. So tonight you need to take anything in your life that is hurting you, that is seems detrimental to you, that seems like it's trying to be destructive in your life, and you need to give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm going to let you sanctify it. I'm going to let you have everything about it, because I believe someday where this separation is, someday where this hurt is, someday where this opposition is, you're going to change it all.
Amen.
See, and when you give it to God like that, you're doing like what I was talking about. When you got so weak, you can't do anything but stand, you're standing. You're letting God do the work. Can you believe Him for that? We need to believe Him for that, because every one of us, we've got different situations in our life. And God can take those things that are not profitable, and He can turn them and make them profitable. Can we look at one more? Hold your place there and go with me to Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10 and 11. Paul is talking about this slave Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave that ran away from Philemon. And look what it says. 1 and 10. I beseech thee for my son, Paul talking to Philemon, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, we talked this on Wednesday night here a while back. We spent several weeks on it. Paul led Onesimus to the Lord, and he got born again. Verse 11, which in times past was to thee unprofitable. But notice this, but now he's profitable to thee and to me. See, the word come to Onesimus through the Apostle Paul, and Onesimus got saved. He got born again, and he went from being useless. Now he's meat for the master's use. Okay, let me ask you tonight, are you saved?
Yeah. Yeah.
That means you're meat for the master's use. Amen? And you need to tell the devil, I can do whatever the Holy Ghost brings to my heart. I have the ability, because God doesn't ask me to do something that He hasn't qualified me for, and He hasn't gave me the word for, and the word has the anointing on it that will bring it to pass.
Amen.
Oh, that's a great place for us to shout, isn't it? We can do it. Whatever God's called us to do. We are not defeated. We are more than conquerors. All right, let's go back to 2 Timothy 2:21. Let's look at this third thing. He said, and if a man therefore purge himself, we covered that, from these he shall be a vessel unto honor. There's that sanctification. Sanctified, and he shall be meet or useful, profitable for the master's use. I can be used by the Lord God Almighty, not the devil. Now notice this. And I can be prepared unto every good work. Prepared. That means, from the Greek, the word means that you've been adjusted and now you're ready. Oh, glory. That means to be adjusted. So when I sin, it means to crook. It means to turn. It means to turn away from the straight and narrow path. But Jesus comes into my life. He corrects me. He shows me the blood that washes away my sin. He gives me the light of the Word. He washes me in the water of the Word. And now I start walking straight.
Right.
Amen. He adjusts me. All of a sudden now I'm in the place of adjustment. And He said that I would be prepared unto every good work. See, the thing that's coming against you tonight, the thing that's coming against me tonight is a disguise, is a work, is a hindrance of the devil to keep us out of the will of God. So every negative thing that the devil does is to try to keep you and I out of God's plan, out of God's best. Amen? And so what we do is we say, no, wait a minute. This is a struggle. This is a hard time. But I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in Jesus. I'm going to stand by Jesus. I'm going to stand by the Word. And I'm going to let Him make these adjustments in my life. And I'm going to what? I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to do what God called me to do. See, the little things that we do that God calls us to do for somebody else, they're really for us. Because when we're willing to put somebody else first, then all of a sudden, God looks in our life and it really works a work in our life, because whatever I sow, that's what I'm going to reap. The hardest thing that we have to give is the most important seed to sow. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's understanding, whether it's come on, we're talking about some seeds that's hard to sow. But we sow them not by feeling, completely by faith. And then God will reward that with a harvest. Amen. Come on, God's he's the Lord of the harvest. So you think he can't make his word come to pass? Of course he can. Amen. All right, so notice he said, I want you to be prepared unto every good work. So let's look at two scriptures that will build you up tonight that will show you how where this word is used in another place. Hold your place here and go to John chapter 14. Look at verses 1 and 2. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Verse number 1. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You realize you're sinning right now tonight. I'm not saying it. That's what the Bible says. So what we do is we say, Lord, I'm sorry. In the name of Jesus, I repent of that. I give it to you. Now help me not to be troubled. Amen. This word troubled, it means to agitate. It means, have you ever been to the bow? Or the river, and it's up and it's just flowing and it's just swirling. It makes those cyclones in the water and it'll suck things straight down to the bottom. That's what the devil wants to do to you and I. He wants to take and get us in a turmoil and suck us to the bottom and drown the life out of us. Yeah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, here's what we came here. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, Monet, many staying places, many abodes, many residences. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now notice what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. That's the same word. Jesus is telling the disciples as he's getting ready to leave them, and they're going to have to walk with another comforter like you and I are, have to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit when he goes to the cross, to the tomb, and then it goes to the Father on high. But he said he would send us another comforter. He's saying, I'm preparing some things for you. So see, we got to go through some things a lot of times before we get what's been prepared for us. See, they had to go through, they didn't understand why Jesus had to die. They didn't understand why he had to go through what he went through. But look what that preparation process, what it brought to them and what it brought to us tonight. So Jesus said that you were prepared for every good work because he has prepared you for every good work. But not only him, God has. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at about verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. The Apostle Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath. And mark it down. Look at it and put it in your mind's eye. Right? Highlight your Bible out in your Bible. God hath prepared for them that love him. So God the Father, God the Son, bringing revelation by the Spirit, they have prepared things for you because they love you. So you can be prepared by the Word of God for to be able to walk in whatever God has for you, to do what He's called you to do. Now see, Paul didn't stop there. He quoted Isaiah, but look what we're living in the new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. Look what happens in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, these things that God's prepared for us. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So Isaiah, when he prophesied that, he didn't know what he was talking about. He just had limited knowledge. The New Testament hadn't been put in existence yet. But now you and I, we're living in the dispensation of grace. We're living in the time of revelation. God's got some things prepared for you. Do you know the things that he's prepared for you is the things that you can be prepared to walk in? Oh my. See, in my life, Sometimes I have trouble controlling my mind because the devil, he'll come and he comes in this way and he comes in this way and he comes in this way and he comes up and down. He's all around. And so he starts showing me all the negative things. And he tries to bring that cloud of discouragement, that cloud of oppression there. And as all those things are there, see, I've got to make a choice. God's prepared. Jesus is prepared. Or the devil has prepared. Which one am I going to listen to? What am I going to partake of? See, God and Jesus, they got love and joy and peace. They got victory. They got triumph. They've got truth. They've got prosperity. They've got blessings. They've got promises. The devil's just come to steal, kill, and destroy. So I've got to make a choice. So I've got to say, Lord, you've got the things prepared for me. And so I need to walk those things out. So by faith, just as you receive salvation, by faith, just as I receive salvation, we receive all the other promises of God. So it's not about feelings. Thank God for what we felt when we got saved. We know what that felt like for that load of sin and then that bearing witness of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. But after that, you and I, we start walking by faith. So you can have anything this Bible says. I can have anything this Bible says by faith, but you're going to have to walk it out. You've got to say, God prepared that for me. See, I got to tell myself, I'm not battling the devil. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not fighting the devil. I'm fighting the good fight. So I tell myself, now, wait a minute. God's got peace in my mind. These thoughts that I'm thinking, they're not bringing peace. God is the God of all comfort. I'm not being comforted right now. Jesus said he would send another comforter unto me. So this is a false spirit. This is a lie. And so Jesus has done got these things prepared for me. So I got to reach out and I got to grab them by faith. And I grab them by faith and I start walking them out. As I start walking them out, then those spirits, they start seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my spirit, in your spirit, and they start cowering down. Because what did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit only lifts up Jesus. When Jesus starts getting exalted, they run because they are scared to death of the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So this is our way to victory. Preparation. He's prepared some things. Okay, go back to 2 Timothy. I'm going to let you go. Just give me just a few more seconds. Let's reread it and then read verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared, that's who you and I are, unto every good work. I can do whatever God asked me to do. You can do whatever God asked you to do. But here's what I've got to do to be able to walk in that. Verse 22, flee also from youthful lust. Flee from these youthful lusts. Then, like I said, this word from the Greek, it means to run and shun. Remember Joseph? There in Potiphar's house, what did he do? He run. See, I used to run toward it. I'm sorry, that the flesh runs towards sin. That's just the way it is. But now you and I, we have the emboldening power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God that makes us free from those lies where we can run from those things. So he said, flee those, run and shun those youthful lusts. And these lusts is concupiscence, it's wanting what is longing for what is forbidden. And if you ever think about it, you know, you may not have been that way, but I've been carnal where, you know, I might have had the perfect meal, but I didn't have the one thing I wanted, so the whole meal wouldn't no count. Nobody's ever been that carnal, huh? Well, I have. You know what I mean? I wanted just one thing and I didn't get it, so I forget the whole everything else. It doesn't matter. See, that's immaturity. That's what a youthful person would do. It's what a child would do. I don't want this. I want this cookie. Come on, we've all been around kids. We've all been around nieces, nephews, cousins, grandkids, whatever. We know what they do. So I've got to be in that place where anything that doesn't reveal the maturity of Jesus, and it takes away my peace, and it moves me from that place of being satisfied in Him. I've got to recognize it as what it is, Brother Duckett. Cast it down. So I run and shun from him. I go, I'm not even going to acknowledge that feeling. That feeling's there, but it's a feeling. It's not who I am. It's not who you are. It's not from God, so it's temporary. We talked about this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, back down about verse 21, you know, and 22, that his words are eternal. They're forever. So that's what you and I are living by. All right, so notice what he says. He said, we flee these youthful lusts, and then we follow, we pursue after righteousness. So I pursue for what's right in my life. I pursue what's right in my world, my home, my marriage, my family, my job, my influence. I pursue. I look for what's right. And so we can look at many things like that. And I know that I don't want to keep you too long, but hold your place here. And let's look at 1 Timothy 2:24. Most of you can quote the verse. But this is how we can pursue what's right. And not in our own power, but the power of what the Word says. 1 Peter 2:24 is talking about Jesus. And look what it says. It says, who, talking about Jesus, his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, on that cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live how? Unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So how do I flee youthful lust, and how do I pursue? How do I chase after righteousness? By the cross, Brother Larry. By the cross. The cross is just as real today as it was then. The cross makes hell tremble. Because there's the cross, it's empty. It couldn't hold Jesus. The tomb couldn't hold him. He's exalted on the right hand of the Father. So notice what the scripture said here, that he in his own self bare my sins in his own body. Now, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can get what I'm seeing in the spirit, what I'm feeling. That means that's anything that's not of God is sin. But that thing that used to control me, it's done on the cross. Brother Larry, it's in his body. That body has done been resurrected and glorified. That means it's overcome every one of my sins that was in his body. Now he's exalted to the highest place in all of heaven, and my sin is under his feet. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to talk lack and talk defeat and be in doubt and do without. I can have what God promised me. Amen? So I pursue this righteousness. So anything that isn't right in my life, I line it up with the cross. And the moment I line it up with the cross, it changes my focus, and it changes that defeated mentality into the positivity of the victory that is mine, that's been bought and paid for. Amen? Okay, go back, look at it again. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, follow, pursue after righteousness. But he said then, notice this, pursue faith. Pursue. We're just going to look at these four things. I'll try to do it real quickly. Pursue faith. So, anything that comes across my mind that's not the Word of God, because we know Romans 10:17, faith, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So anything that's not of the Word of God, it will create fear, doubt. So if I'm going to pursue faith, I've got to make sure that I, by the Spirit of God, I register what's of God and what's not, and I cast it down. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 8, and remember the centurion? Remember what Jesus said about him? I mean, this is amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ would say this about the centurion. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus said in verse 10, look at this, Matthew 8 and 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled because of what the man said. The man said, hey, You just speak the word only. When you speak that word, I know my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard it, Jesus marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So how do I pursue faith? I know where to come. This centurion, he knew where to go. He wasn't part of what was going on. Come on, he was a Roman centurion, but he didn't let who he was in his old way, old manner of life, separating from what he could be in Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, glory. See, so many times we'll start to come to the Lord and we'll start to do these things that God's asked us to do. We'll start walking in this truth and the devil will start whispering in our ear. He said, but remember, remember when you've done this. Remember when you said that. Remember where you come from. I come from God. You come from God. Amen? Because my past has been swallowed up in the blood of Jesus. Your past has been swallowed up. So I'm not going to listen to that devil no more. Amen? I'm going to follow. I'm going to pursue faith. This centurion, he come to Jesus because he knew that was the only hope for his servant. Now this ties in with what we just read in 1 Peter 2:24. Drop down and look at verse 17. Jesus, he brings healing to all these people. And in verse 17, he says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. See, Peter was quoting Isaiah 53:5 in that process, that it might be fulfilled who was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare on the cross, bare our sicknesses. So I pursue faith because I'm not letting anything separate me from Jesus. I'm going to come to him. I'm not going to let anybody else have an impact. I'm not going to let anybody else tell me what I can do or can't do. I'm going to let Jesus be the final judge. See, a lot of people won't come to church now because they say, I'm not going to church because this person goes there. What are they doing? They're keeping them from God's best. Or they say, I'm not going to church because this person hurt me. This person done this all these years ago. What are they doing? They're giving that person the power of blessing or cursing in their life. We're not going to do that. We're going to pursue. Come on. We pursue righteousness. We're going to pursue faith. That's ours. Go over to, let's look at pursuing love. Go into Jude chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Jude chapter 1, verse 21, because that's what he told us to do. He told us to pursue love. Look what he said. He said, keep yourself in what? Jude 1:21. Keep yourself in the love of God. How do we do that? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I've got to keep myself. I've got to watch and guard is what this saying from the Greek. I've got to watch and guard my life. I've got to watch and guard my thoughts. I've got to watch and guard my mind. And I'm going to pursue this love. I'm going to keep myself in the love of God because of God's mercy. See, God loved me because he had mercy toward me. Remember what we talked about this morning, Romans 5:8? But God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. So how do I keep myself? How do I pursue this love? I know that God loves me with an everlasting love. I know that nothing will separate me from the love of God. So I don't let a word, a thought, somebody. I'm not going to give anything greater power than the love of God. Love, the love of God never fails. So the love of God, God is love. So he cannot fail. So I'm going to pursue that. I'm not going to let anything keep me from the love of God. The love of God covers a multitude of... Okay. I see what the Holy Spirit wants to do right there with that truth. He wants to take the sin where somebody sinned against God and they sinned against you and you're hurt to this day. He wants to cover it. He wants to cover it in his love where that will not have power over your life or over my life. Amen. That's how we pursue it. We say, Lord, I believe in you and I trust you more than me yielding to my feelings or me wanting to get vengeance, because vengeance belongs unto the Lord. He said, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. So I'm going to let him, he's going to take care of all of it. So I'm going to pursue righteousness. I'm going to pursue faith. I'm going to pursue love. One more. He told us for us to pursue what? Peace. Peace. John chapter 14. Look at verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. This is how you and I can pursue it by truth. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Can Jesus lie? See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so he's leaving himself with you. And it's also the third fruit of the Spirit. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace. To mark it down in your Bible, out, highlight it in your Bible, write it on the table of your heart. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world gives and they take away. I had somebody one time, I'll be careful here. They thought they were dying. And so they called me and I talked with them and everything. And then this person gave me some stuff. It was a brand new reciprocating saw. And if they wanted to give it, you know, I'd take it because I put it to good use, you know. So I took it. Anyway, when the person got better, they called me and they said, hey, I need my stuff back. That's the way the world is. But Jesus don't do that. Jesus don't do that. Look what he said. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Look what he says. Look like he started in verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How do I pursue peace? I guard my heart. For out of my heart are the issues of life, or the boundaries of life. And so, the moment that I give away his peace, it's saying that I trust in what I'm thinking or feeling more than I trust in him. That's going back to the youthful lust. See, the youthful lust is, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You've done this, I'm going to mark you, and you're dead to me. This is over, all these things. And we're saying that God can't do the impossible. God can do the impossible. I'm standing with the Lord on some things with my family, my extended family. There's been separation there that started way back there, back in the 70s with my dad and that side and all those things. God can put it together. If I keep my mouth shut and keep my heart on him, God can do it. It don't matter what they do. I mean, they've done some dirty things. I've done some dirty things. But guess what? Jesus is the one that cleans all those things up. Amen? So all I've got to do tonight is put away the things of the youth, the way that a young person, an immature person, a person that hasn't met Christ, the way that they would think. I put those things away and I become meat for the master's use. I'm prepared for every good work. I'm in that place. You're in that place, in that position, where we have all the promises of God starting to be manifest in our life. I want that more than anything else, don't you? Because, see, my life, your life is a living epistle. We talked about it this morning, a living testimony. And I want people to read the true Word of God out of my life, don't you? They are. Come on, they are. Don't let the devil get you on a tangent of this and that. We're walking in the light as he's in the light. Amen. And we're being cleansed. We're being changed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for giving me favor and understanding with this wonderful group of people. I thank you, Lord, for letting them be a part of my and Donna's lives and letting us be a part of their lives. Lord, I'm so thankful as we're coming into this Christmas season, the time that we celebrate what you've done for us. As we're finishing out this year, help us to finish this year out strong. Lord, we're still standing strong and believing on release from so many situations and circumstances of people that we have laid in your hands. Lord, you show us how to finish in faith, how to fight the good fight of faith, how to stand strong in you. Tonight, Lord, if there's anything that we can allow you to change by us just making a little adjustment in what we think or the way we feel, if you'll show us what to pursue, what to run and shun from, and what to pursue, we'll be quick to hear. Lord, let it be, let tonight, let this be a moment that changes everything of our destiny. We'll be quick to give you praise for it. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I'm so thankful that you love me so much that you won't leave me the way I am in any situation or circumstance, but you'll give me a word that will mature me, a word that will grow me up, a word that will make me have freedom in areas that I never thought I could enjoy. Would you come tonight and let us pray with you? Let us be a blessing to one another, because we are. We are a blessing to one another. We need one another. That's the way God has set up his family, his body, the church.